Yeah, we'll work backwards. All right, so tell us about the tour, what you're up to now, and you know, what's going on with Corey Brent.
Yeah, the tour's been great. I'm just out with Tim, and the first half, Des Arc is opening, and then the second half, a guy named Brian McPherson from around these parts is actually open. I haven't met him yet. Yeah, it's the fourth show. It's been great. Yeah, the hell, they've been sold out, so it's been fun. And then this one, of course, you know, they combined with another show that was going on. So they, and we're doing that again in Detroit. Cheap Girls and Draft, and I don't know if Luther's going to be there or not. But so yeah, so this is going to be a long day of music. Yeah. So, but no, it's been great riding around and. A work van with no air conditioning, and so we're glad the heat wave finally broke. And you know, I was riding with Tim, and we got a driver, and there was no back seat, so Tim screwed a seat from an Oldsmobile into the back and just bolted it down loosely. So hopefully we'll get across the border in Canada. But yeah, it's going great.
Wow, what are you up to in terms of recording and preparing?
Yeah, I'm in the middle of a new one. I started it in March and knocked out a lot of it in a few days, and then my allergies knocked me out. I found out that Nashville has something that Memphis doesn't have, and I hadn't figured out what it is, but it put me down for about 2 months. I just couldn't sing. So then I went back out on the road, and so now I'm getting in when I can. I've only got a few left to sing, and it'll probably be coming out late winter, early spring. Yeah.
How's it going to be different or similar to Mutt?
It's, well, Mutt was, you know, pretty wild, all over the map kind of, which, you know, I think this one is a little more consistent, but my idea of consistency is, you know, it's pretty loose, you know.
Yeah.
I pull from a lot of different stuff, and, you know, I don't really have any aesthetic loyalties and no one to tell me no, so I just kind of get the records I hear in my head as close as I can approximate that, and that might be a little jarring for people. So I think this one's the one that I'm working on. It's got more rootsy songs on it, but then it's, you know, it goes left in quite a few places as well. So play ukulele for the first time. Wrote this little...
You play?
Yeah, yeah. This little Shel Silverstein kind of Roger Millery type thing. You know, nothing is near as cool as either of those, but a little tune. And I was like, yeah, this needs ukulele on it. So that was kind of fun.
Wow. Tell us a little bit more about that. Like you just mentioned, Mutt is a little all over the place, hence the title.
Yeah.
And, you know, I first saw you on the... I got tickets to... go to the Country Throwdown tour.
Oh wow, yeah.
To promote, you know, had gotten free tickets for doing promotional work for some, for Ryan Bingham actually, and then I saw you on the Bluebird stage. How did you end up on that tour? And, you know, and then, well, let's start with that. How did you end up on that tour?
That one was a weird one. I actually ended up on that tour because I played at the Bluebird one night with, kid named Joe Pug, and the guy that's from My Morning Jacket, the guitar player, Carl, I believe, and we were just playing acoustic, and the people were out, this is not a bad story to tell. They were out to see Joe Pug, the people were, I got the gig. So Joe, I'm sorry if I took a gig out from under you. He's a cool dude. But, and so they asked me to do it, and it was fun because it was, actually has a lot to do with why I live in Nashville now. Playing on the Bluebird stage, I was playing with primarily songwriters that weren't trying to be artists. You know, in Nashville, you can still make a living with paper and pen, and you don't have to get out on the road and do it. You know, there's no Tin Pan Alley anymore. That's one of the last places you can really do it. And so I met a lot of songwriters there, and, you know, as I get on up in the years and I have certain family responsibilities, you know, I moved to Nashville. I'm going to try a little country writing on the side, you know, just to kind of keep my thing untouched by any commercial aspirations, keep my own music, you know, be able to do my music and then support it with some cooter, son of a bitch, you know, you know, record one of my dumb songs that I wrote on a lark, you know, but... I mean, not to talk down about it. There's a great tradition of great songwriting in Nashville. I just feel like, you know, what hits the radio is a little more novelty or pop now. But still, when you hear, like, the Brad Paisleys of the world and things like that, and then you get on the records and you see the deep cuts that aren't on the radio, you know, they still need those songs that have a not immediately accessible summer boating content. You know, there's some songs that have a little depth to them on the record. And so I'm hoping to maybe write the songs that don't go on the radio for Nashville.
Artists are usually not happy with how their music is described, but it's really hard to describe and categorize music. So do it for me. How would you describe your music?
Honestly, I mean, I've been calling it mutt music for years. You know, that's literally why I went with that. To me, it just sounds nationalistic, but I just think it's American music. I mean, it's like I pull from the blues and country and gospel music that I grew up around. But I also, you know, I was only on the farm in the summers. I grew up a skate rat in the suburb of, you know, Memphis in Mississippi there. And so I grew up glued to MTV, you know, when I had 9 videos and 24 hours of programming, they just played the 9 over and over. I was glued to all 9 of them, you know. And I lived through a time when it was, you know, I mean, it was the year of 1984, Purple Rain and Thriller all at the same time. And so I was influenced as heavily by blues music and punk music that I found. But just, you know, Born in the USA, all those things, that stuff was blasting through the TV, Talking Heads, you know, and then it was loose, you know, the programming was loose back then. So, you know, I'm a kid of that channel that doesn't do anything but reality TV now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I it's just kind of a grab bag, and I still listen to the music like that, you know. I probably would have a bit more of a career if I just kept it between the lines a little more and just been like, he plays this, you know. Yeah. Probably would be better, but it's, you know, I gotta amuse myself first, I think, you know.
That was gonna be my next question then. Have you ever been tempted to sort of, you know, like you just said, I mean, you have all the elements, you know, of someone who could probably make it as a big country star or rock star or whatever. Have you ever been tempted to try and go mainstream and make a career?
Oh, no. I mean, I wouldn't have the voice for it, I don't believe, for any sort of mainstream thing. I think I have a pretty idiosyncratic voice. But I also just... it just doesn't appeal to me at all. I mean, because I genuinely, writing songs and is my only consistent happiness. You know, people let you down, you let yourself down, but I can go and do this, and it is consistently kind of untouched, you know, and untainted for me. And so to keep that protected, I don't have any commercial aspirations. You know, I got to pay the rent, but I do that anyway. I mean, like when I write a song, I consider the crowd, because I don't want to, you know, I don't genuinely don't want to bore anyone. I think the craft of songwriting is the way I keep people ideally coming back to my music, is I don't waste their time. You know, I don't throw away lines. I don't, you know, throw songs away, you know, just I definitely craft it and take time with these songs. They're not just vomited out, you know.
Well, and to that end, let me ask you about, for example, on your last album, a song like Survivor's Blues, where you released the two versions.
Yeah.
Two very different versions and two very, very different moods, you know, when you listen to those two songs. What made you decide to release the two versions, and how would you characterize the two versions?
Yeah, that was actually when I wrote that song, and I heard it as a Thin Lizzy type rocker, you know, and then the feeling in it to me sounded like that sort of fast thing, but then I was afraid that the lyrics were going to be just breezed over, and I wanted to lend a little more weight to it. That sparser acoustic thing does. But when I heard them both, I liked them both, and I'd almost put it on there like that as my thesis statement almost, you know. Like this is, you know, this is what, let me do what I want with my record, because this is way the instrumentation and the arrangement can affect how you hear a song, you know. And it, you know, it can accentuate different things. Because people a lot of times are like, why don't you just put out records that are you and a guitar and acoustic instruments? I'm like, when I hear the song like that, I do it like that. And one of these days, I'll go back and do all these songs that I've done kind of rock, and I'll put out a live record with me stripped down, and it'll be fine, and then they'll have it. Yeah. But it's like, I hear these songs like this, and it's like, I'm lucky enough that my fans will let me do it, and they still come around on acoustic guitar, and they'll still like the songs, you know.
So, and then just follow up on that, when you, what's your songwriting style? Do songs come easy to you? Do you spend a lot of time with them?
It varies, you know, nothing's set. Sometimes a line will trigger a verse, and the next thing I know, I've got, like, I overwrite a lot of times. I'll write twice as many verses and pare it down. A lot of times I'm writing and I don't think about a song at all when I'm writing. You know, I'm just trying to write the most concise image I can get or something that sounds, you know, and I'm writing in meter and stuff. And so sometimes the structure will lend, you know, that. But usually when I know when I feel a pivot in a song, when I feel what's the handle and what's the axe blade, you know, when I feel how it's going to work, and then that's when I know I've got something. Not that I've got a line or I've got a melody. When I've got the angle of the song, when I've got how it's going to be said, you know, how it's going to be different when you say the same shit that everybody's always said, you know, but we all forget, and so we have to say it again and again. Nobody's listening, so you have to say it again. Yeah, when I find the pivot on it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's obviously how this goes.
So you come from a musical family, right? So did you start pretty early with
the? I did. I started playing guitar when I was 14. You know, there were things laying around and stuff, but I didn't. Yeah, so relatively late for some of the people in my family. And I didn't start writing songs till I was almost 25. So that was, you know, I started late. And then, but then when I started, it was like, you know, I wrote one song and then I wrote 15, like in a couple weeks. It was just like, you know.
Wow. What was your first song about?
You know, that's what, I can't remember which one my first one was, but it was either this sort of novelty-esque, like, talking blues number, you know, which I never played again, or it was the Hellbent and Heart First.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which didn't show up to the second record, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, because sometimes I have songs, well, even on Mutt, That Dark in My Door was one of the first 15 songs I ever wrote. You know, it's been around forever. And sometimes, you know, I just have them sitting around. There's a huge stack because I don't get to put out records as much as I like. And so I have stuff to choose from, you know.
You know, every time I see you, it's with very different acts and very different tours. And it's interesting. Like, you know, it's like Dashboard Confessional, The Country Throwdown, this, where else? Oh, with Drag the River.
Yeah.
You know, it's... How does that happen? How do you end up with so many different acts, and how do you...
I usually go out, if it's a big act that I'm opening up for, it's just somebody's heard me along the line, and actually Chris Dashwood, who's a fan, you know, and he saw me replay, and he was just really kind and took me out. Same with, Gaslight earlier this year, and if it's a bigger tour, it's just somebody that's happened across my music usually. It's not anything that I've done, you know, if you consider that I've taken some time to write the songs, you know. But yeah, I'm really lucky that I think the fact that I don't have a band on stage and I have an aesthetic for people to balk at, I think they have to deal with the songs as they are. They cannot like that there's some country guy screaming at them with a guitar on stage. They cannot like that, but pretty much they don't, you know, they can't say this is this, because, you know, I play louder than a singer-songwriter, and I pick more than, you know, finger pick more than like just a rock strummer or anything. And so I don't know, I'm just lucky enough to know people, and yeah, I think hopefully to me that it is doing something right, that I'm playing for just different crowds, and then when I have my own shows where I'm headlining, that it's a really mixed crowd, you know, mixed ages, like really diverse ages, and you know, mixed cultures. It was just, you know. And a lot of times, I love it when people are like, I don't know if this is an insult, but my parents really like your music. And I'm like, well, I'm doing something wrong or something right. I'm like, I hope it's right. So.
Is it, because you always seem to do really well. Like, they seem to win you up, you seem to win them over. But is it intimidating going out in front of, you know, someone else's audience with just a guitar?
If I was smarter, it might be intimidating, you know. I'm always kind of a little, I always have nervous energy, but I just, you know, I learned to use that years ago. Just, it's either be spazzy or vomit. So I'm all talky and weird. It's just, I find that, you know, a song is a song. And, like, when you go out and stay with that, like a band like Dashboard Confessional, their fans are younger. They kind of keep staying young. They keep re-upping. And when you're playing to young kids, I mean, unless it's... I just don't see, even like punk rock crowds and things like that, I don't see the punk rock kids that I grew up with. The kids that'll stand there with their back to the stage with their arm crossed, you know, if it's not the band they like. I just don't see that anymore. I think people are, you know, they're exposed to more. And, you're exposed to more than the records that are the shows you go to and the things you buy. It's really easy to get to different kinds of music in the privacy of your own home. You know, so those punk rock kids that might not have listened to Willie Nelson might be like typing in Willie Nelson on the Spotify. But I just think it's a little more open-ended and people aren't as quick to balk at aesthetics.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think I'll leave it there. Those are the important questions.
Cool. It actually might be kind of funny.
Yeah.
With the music in the background. It's pretty rad music.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool.